the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith along with Johnny Aber and David Dawson. Happy Flag Day, guys.
It's Flag Day?
That's right.
It is.
Oh, all right. Well, I got work to do then. I got to go get a flag.
Yeah,
I have a flag. I just got to fly my flag.
Not just any flag. No. Specific right. Flags. Okay. Right. Right. Our flag. U.S. flag. Hey, you can fly the Vatican flag too, you know?
Vatican flag. Okay. There you go. That's a good idea. All right. Yeah. I wish you guys could hear the party that goes on as the bumper music is playing in. I mean, it is a party here in the studio. I think the guys behind the glass were dancing, so we should get a camera back there. You talk about a good way to wake up. It's just fun.
We do welcome all new listeners to Wake Up this morning. It's good to have you, especially the two Daves from Abita Springs. Good to have you with us. But let's get our show started in prayer, because that's all that sustains us, right? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
O Lord, we come to you this morning with grateful hearts and in humility, knowing all that you have done for us, and through the Holy Spirit continue to lead us to yourself. You've given us every means to be saved, from the prophets, your commandments of love, and from your words of eternal life, the sacraments, and all those you've placed in our lives, especially the saints. Fill us with your grace, O Lord, that we may finish this race before us with dignity and with purity of heart. And let us begin today by being not only your hands and feet in the world, but revealing your sacred heart to all those in need. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. Amen. And we call upon Saint Albert Chmielowski to also pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for that, Johnny. Looking forward to your gospel reflection coming up in about 6 minutes. We have Sister Mary Lou Specha joining us in 18 minutes. She is the Executive Director of Hotel Hope. She's going to be giving us her monthly update. In 35 minutes, we have Kenneth Champagne joining us in the Baton Rouge studio with David Dawson. He's with St. Agnes Church in Baton Rouge, and he's going to be talking about an event called, the event is called Presents the Masters of the Spiritual Life, St. Aquinas. So we'll learn more about St. Aquinas later on with Kenneth. And in 48 minutes, Tyler Morrow joins us once again. She's a recruitment coordinator with CASA in Baton Rouge. And today she's going to be talking about foster care, their need for summer volunteers, and foster parents. There is such a need in the Baton Rouge area. So we had Tyler invited over once again to talk about that need. You never know who's listening. So if you feel called, then please contact Tyler. But stay hydrated, wear your sunscreen, because a heat advisory, you guys, is in effect today through Sunday. Temperatures will rise in the upper 90s to near 100. The heat index will feel like 107 with a chance of afternoon showers. Winds will be from the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Highs in the mid to upper 90s. Lows near 80s. Bring your pets in, stay indoors, stay hydrated, be careful outside, because it's hot. It feels like an oven.
Gabby, we got to stop with the heat index thing, because now it's in the back of my head how I'm going to feel today rather than what the temperature is. You know what I mean? You just made it all the hotter for me. Come on. You know.
Let's just say the heat index is...
Well, take a fan.
Actually, you know where it's going to feel for me today? It's going to feel like 70 degrees. Because
there you go.
That's right. I'm going to be...
Power of suggestion.
Indeed.
Oh my goodness. Well, stay hydrated. Like I said, be safe out there and stay with us, because we have our gospel and reflection with Johnny Aber coming up right after the break. It is 5 past the hour on Wake Up.
good Wednesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven."
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. Well, guys, the gospel today comes to us from the Sermon on the Mount. This is right after Jesus has given us the Beatitudes. And, you know, the entire setting, left to imagine this, is very Moses-like. It helps you recall how Moses, you know, got the law on the mountain and brought it down to the Israelites. And so Jesus is now the fulfillment of Moses. Jesus is the mountain maker, the lawmaker himself. The stone-cold tablets is now the flesh of the living Savior. But he's talking about something greater here. Not only Moses, Jesus is the one the Old Testament prophets all foretold of as the Messiah. Whether we're talking about Isaiah's suffering servant, Ezekiel's vision of a shining figure on the throne, Zechariah's foretelling of a king entering the city on a colt, or even Jonah's 3 days in the whale, Daniel's vision of the Son of Man, it goes on and on, and especially Malachi's messenger of the new covenant. So everything that had happened up to this point in history was a preparation for Christ, so much so that the mathematical improbability of coincidence of Jesus fulfilling all these prophecies, it's pretty staggering. And so this is what Jesus means when he speaks of the fact that he's come to fulfill all the promises made. But hang on, because as powerful as this is, it barely describes the depth of God's love, what Jesus is referring to here. So let's dive into that real quick, into some language stuff. You know, so underlying all of this reading today, when Jesus says that not the smallest letter of the smallest part of the law will pass until all these things take in place, you know, when we read this in English, it loses its original meaning. So here's some really powerful stuff. So Matthew here, he's writing in Greek, and he says that smallest letter, it's the iota or the iota in Greek, which in turn, it just translates from Hebrew, from the Hebrew letter of the yod, the Y-O-D. You got to look this stuff up. It's really cool. Now, because the yod is the smallest but most important character in the Hebrew alphabet. The scribes use this first dot to start writing a letter, and it's also used as the last dot that gives the letter its final form. But it's also used to form all the other Hebrew letters. And here's the other stuff about this. So it's the 10th letter, which is the 10 represents perfection. And so the Jews attach to Yod, this dot, this letter, it has a divine aspect to it. And mystically, the Jews believe that this mere dot is a point of pure divine energy. And it's like a representation of all the building blocks of creation. And so what they're saying here is that just as this divine power resides in the scripture, God has come down from heaven and dwells with us, his people. It really gives that term we hit with EW10, the eternal word. Mm-hmm. It really hits you when you start trying to wrap your head around that. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but think of like the Big Bang, for example, where God spoke a word and from the tiniest compaction of pure energy, the entire universe kind of came into being and still remains pure power, obscene. It's pretty powerful stuff, huh? Or child at conception. Think about that. The tiny dot to the eye, but it's a soul that will live forever. So love is in the matter, and we're all that matters to God. So all this may sound kind of strange or interesting or whatever. So what is Jesus implying then here by saying and talking about this letter, the smallest letter of the law? Well, you know, start thinking about this. The Word of God that brought everything into existence from the moment of creation not only has physical laws that miraculously led to us having this conversation, you know, right now, it all has a purpose. And God has revealed that purpose to us in countless ways. whether we're talking about nature's law, God's divine law, human history, the prophets, our conscience, all these signs come to fruition and our understanding in the person of Jesus Christ. From the moment of creation, then, God has done all this because he has one desire, wants one thing only, and that is for us to be with him forever, for us to be in love with him forever, just as he loves us. It really boils down to something as simple as that. And this purpose has never changed. His love is purpose will never change. And that in the central to all of this is the death and resurrection of our Lord as the central event of this entire cosmic plan. We are his plan. Pretty cool.
Cool stuff. It is. You know, I think the part that amazes me is when we go, when I have taken back up the Old Testament and really delving into it, because now it's speaking to me more than it used to in the past. And it is just amazing how the puzzle pieces, Johnny, are right there, right? You were talking about the prophets of old and all the things that they had to say and how everything points to Christ. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
it really is. You know, and Jesus, the other thing too, and it talks about why we exist here. In other words, the Lord's kind of telling us that we have to guard these eternal truths, teach it to our families, to our children, and give them assurance of this hope, how much they're loved. Mm. You know, and you know, it's interesting that the battle of today is in language, in subtle changes, not big lies,
yeah,
but subtle changes in wording, in text, in redefining words, and in language, particularly with respect to human sexuality. And the culture wants to reinvent words, you know, distort our nature, desecrate what's holy, to ignore natural and divine law. So this is what the Lord's reminding us of, that anyone who does so, he says, you're endangering your souls. But on the other hand, rejoice at just how eternal and how he continues to fulfill all our needs, our desires, our purposes, that we can trust his plan if we let not the slightest letter of the law pass away, the truth that comes from God. So this is what the Lord says. To be great is to become, I guess, like that tiny
the
God.
Iota.
Mm-hmm. To become the iota. Become the yod. Let the yod live in us, which will make us great in his eyes. Pretty cool stuff.
Nice.
Speaking of hope, Mary Lou Specia is going to join us with Hotel Hope to give us an update and what we can do to help. It's quarter past the hour. You've tuned your heart to the truth. Be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 14th. Today we celebrate St. Albert Chmielowski. Today's saint chose to leave the world of art, literature, and theater in order to serve Christ. In doing so, he became a model and hero to many, including a young Polish priest who would later become a pope. Albert was born into a wealthy Polish family in 1845. During the 1864 revolt against Tsar Alexander III, he suffered severe wounds that required the amputation of his left leg. After studying painting in Warsaw, Munich, and Paris, he returned home and became a secular Franciscan. In 1888, he founded the Brothers of the Third Order of St. Francis, Servants to the Poor. Albert and his brothers worked primarily with the homeless, depending completely on alms while serving the needy regardless of age, religion, or politics. Later, a community of Albertine sisters also was established. Albert died in 1916. In 1989, Pope John Paul II canonized Brother Albert, calling him a real spiritual support and example in his own life. As a young priest, Carol Wojtyła had written a play about Brother Albert's life entitled The Brother of Our God. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
The hour you're listening to Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith along with David Dawson and Johnny Hebert. Remember to stay hydrated today. We have a Wake Up group text, and David had the courtesy of sending a really funny gif of Pope Benedict the 16th staying hydrated with
a big
giant
old beer. Yes,
that's right. Of German beer. I don't know if that's the way to stay hydrated. I think that makes you dehydrated. So Stay hydrated with water, cold water.
Can do it. Just saying.
Be safe. Well, Sister Mary Lou Specia now joins us. She is the executive director with Hotel Hope in New Orleans. And I always love having Sister Mary Lou join us for Wake Up because they do such a wonderful job in the New Orleans community, helping those who really need help, especially this time of year. Good morning, Sister Mary Lou. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Gabby, and good morning to all who are listening this morning.
Well, we really appreciate your joining us. And since we last spoke, tell us how many people have been walking through the doors of Hotel Hope. How many have you served since our last conversation?
Sure. So since we last spoke, we're celebrating our fifth anniversary. So in 2018, we opened our doors in September, so we're getting ready to celebrate. So we're using this whole year to celebrate, and we've had over 850 individuals come through our door. But
wow.
Since March, we've had March, April, and May, we've had 23 moms, 37 children. And you can see that the need is so great. And we have really a small facility, only 20 rooms, 12 of which we're using right now to serve our moms and children. But I was taken by the saint of the day, Brother Albert, mm-hmm. in his it's a homelessness has been around for as long as we know, and it's unfortunate. But especially the vulnerable, the children. So one of our moms who are just with us now was sleeping in her car. And could you imagine the heat with a
man.
4-year-old and a 2-year-old telling me, you know, things like, you know, in the parking lot of Walmart and being scared, of course. So the need is great, and I was glad to hear you say that. We all need to hydrate, but just think of the people who are out on the streets today that really need our love and compassion. And as our Catholic community really steps up to help us and to help many others in need.
Well, I'm going to be jumping around here, Sister, because there is an alert in my brain right now saying, what can we do to help these people, especially in the summertime? So you have a Christmas in July going on soon, and you're looking for actual physical items to bring to Hotel Hope for the people that come in. So tell us a little bit about this Christmas in July and what we can do.
Sure. So we always need a monetary donation. So if that can be, because that can always help us keep our place cool and things like that. But at Christmas time, we have a lot of people, a lot of parishes that help us with drives. And our shelves are a little lower now with laundry pods, things that we use to help the moms. During this time, too, in the summer, umbrellas and ponchos for children, things like that. And any other kind of supplies of cleaning supplies or diapers, wipes for children, things like that we can really use. If you're wondering what else we would need, we'll have something come out on our website, as well as if you're interested in getting an email, you can go to our website and say you want to join our mailing list, which is really a way that you can get involved and get all of our updates.
Now, do I remember that there was or is an Amazon storefront that those who don't live in the New Orleans area can purchase things online to be delivered to Hotel Hope?
Oh, good.
Okay.
So, yes, we have a wish list on our website, hotelhope.org, that has an Amazon and also a Walmart. So if you have that,
that's
free
great.
Shopping and or free delivery, not free shopping, but free delivery.
from, that'd be nice. Yes.
Walmart. Yeah. that's a great way. And a lot of people, and we update that pretty regularly. So if people are able to give that way, it's a real blessing for us to really
help
those.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, thank you for telling us that, because mm-hmm. I think that's so important, especially, you know, Prime Day is coming up. We always talk about that. Great opportunities to give more than normal on Amazon Prime Day. It's kind of like the Black Friday of Amazon.
Right.
It's the biggest shopping day of the year, so this will greatly help Hotel Hope as well. I love talking about the guest spotlights every time we have you join us, Sister Mary Lou, because they are very inspiring. So can you tell us a little bit about your guest spotlight for this month?
Right. So Amy came to us a few months ago, and she really had struggled with addiction most of her life. She had a lot of trauma growing up, just unnecessarily what a young person should be. And then she found herself as an adult really struggling, and she has a 15-year-old daughter. So she came to us. And if I could tell you one thing of how she looked, just down and out and physically, just all the things that she suffered with, you could see it in her physical being. And little by little, day by day, and it was, let me just say, it wasn't an easy transformation, but all of the social services that we provided and the referrals, she took advantage of it. Probably in the second week that she was there, she got into a program that she went into every day to help her with her addiction. And then she got a job. She was able to really work her program and use those skills that she learned from the program to really help her and her daughter. By the time she left, and this is a true story, she was sitting in the lobby, and I came in the door, and I said to her, I thought it was somebody else, and I said, good morning, can I help you? And she said, it's Amy. And her physical being had transformed so much, I almost didn't recognize her.
Wow.
When she left, she had a job. She saved $2,500. To put towards her apartment. She's thriving now with her and her daughter. We got her daughter in school. Her daughter is doing well. So all the things that our program really holds to, Amy was kind of our poster child this year. She also did a testimony at a Unity meeting recently and just felt the love and the support of many people, and that's what we have to do. Not only do we have to provide them with food and clothing and shelter, but physical and prayer support.
Wow. Thank you so much for telling us that story. Those are always the most inspiring. I love hearing about them. It just speaks volumes and really shows the power of what you're doing over there at Hotel Hope. You also have an exciting thing going on. A new cafe is opening up.
Right. So, when we first moved in, it was a bar, you know, so we knew we couldn't have a bar with children. So we changed the bar sign to a cafe. It was a small little room, and our dream was always to make it a commercial kitchen. We took that, and with the help of a very generous donor, actually they're putting in the stove in the hood today, so we'll have a full commercial kitchen. And then we took three rooms and made it a multi-purpose room. We're in a cafe where people can eat. Since COVID, people have been eating in their room, and we really don't like that. It's been working, but, you know, something happens when we all gather around a table and break bread and eat and nourish. So we're looking for people to help us serve meals. So we have something on our website under support us and take a meal. You can sign up, and then we'll be able to cook right there on the spot. So if you have a group that you like to do that, we'll have that. And then you could stay and eat with the families. And it's always a blessing for them and for us to share that that meal together.
Amazing. Sister Mary Lou Specha with Hotel Hope. She is the executive director. So much information in today's interview. Where can we go to find out more about you and how we can help out?
So you can go to hotelhope.org on our website, and we're also at hotelhope.nola on Facebook. We also have an Instagram page. So if you're all that savvy in social media, you can find it. But we really thank the Catholic community, because without them, we wouldn't be where we are today. So I really thank far and wide, all the way people up north, my Catholic friends up north, really still, and all here in Baton Rouge and New Orleans and all the parishes. So thank you for your outreach and all you do for people.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much. It was a joy having you. Thank you, Sister Mary Lou.
Have a great day.
You too. Well, Kenneth Champagne joins David Dawson in our Baton Rouge studio. We're going to be talking about the Masters of the Spiritual Life with St. Aquinas. Stay with us. It is half past the hour on Wake Up.
Thirty-five past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Johnny Hebert. And in our studios, we have Kenneth Champagne with St. Agnes Church in Baton Rouge. And I love having you on because, Kenneth, a lot of things are going on at St. Agnes all the time. And I think you're a big part of that. There's beautiful presentations and things. And we got another one coming up.
There's a lot going on. It's always good to come back. Mm-hmm. Really appreciate all the work y'all are doing. And, you know, St. Agnes is vibrant.
Yes.
It is growing. There's so much going on. And so there are lots and lots of volunteers.
Yeah, this is amazing that you have a church in downtown Baton Rouge. And it's always been relatively small. I was always wondering about the status of it because of the size of the parish. This is way back when, and its location. I just thought the demographics were different,
That's right.
And now it's taken off. I mean, it's exploded.
It has. I mean, certainly under the leadership of Father Brent, and you have the missionaries there. Lots of work with the community, with the neighborhood, and certainly a beautiful liturgy.
That's another thing to bring up too, is missionaries or charities are right there on campus.
That's
beautiful. And beautiful Mother Teresa nuns working with the poor.
That's right. In the daily mass, they're visible. They're visible in the community. And again, a lot of the parishioners volunteering to be there with the, to feed and to care for those in the neighborhood.
It's very Eucharistic. Very Eucharistic.
It
and
is.
Speaking of Eucharistic, you have a presentation coming up soon.
We do. Actually, this Saturday, we're excited about this. So Father Brent has invited Monsignor Berggreen to come back. Monsignor was pastor at St. Agnes for 16 years, and so he's been invited back. He is going to join us after the 8 a.m. Mass this Saturday.
Okay.
He's going to present St. Thomas Aquinas, and so the title is Getting to Know the Angelic Doctor, His Life, His Virtues, and His Gifts to the Church.
Now, Monsignor Berggreen has been around a while, but I could listen to that man talk all day long, so But there's a lot I don't know about St. Thomas Aquinas, except for I found, Kenneth, that a lot of the beautiful things I read about the Eucharist, darn if he isn't the author. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, certainly. So you cannot go to benediction without hearing his hymns, his writings.
Yes.
They're absolutely beautiful. So one doesn't really recognize that, but St. Thomas Aquinas wrote those. In 1264, I think it was Pope Urban who began the universal mass for Corpus Christi, that was at the time that
this is in when was this when that did that start
1264
okay.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's so much in the 13th century when you look back. It's incredible. And so, but at that time, St. Thomas Aquinas was actually with the Pope, spending time for about 3 years and all. And so he participated in writing that for the mass, and then all the Psalms. Very, very beautiful.
Wow. And talk about the presentation, because there's a lot of tie-ins with Thomas Aquinas, St. Thomas Aquinas, and St. Agnes. Talk about that.
Well, there is. So St. Thomas Aquinas had a great devotion to St. Agnes. In fact, he carried her relics everywhere he went. And so his lay brother, Reginald, had a terrible fever and was very sick, and so he handed the relics over to Reginald, and he was cured immediately. So great devotion. Both are pillars of purity and chastity. So the stories. And then when you take a look at St. Agnes Church, St. Agnes Church has so many symbols and emblems of St. Thomas Aquinas.
Right. I've noticed that. I'm curious. What endeared St. Agnes to, what was it about St. Agnes for St. Thomas Aquinas?
I think it was her purity.
Okay.
I'm assuming, but yes. But there was certainly a great, great devotion.
Okay.
And if you take a look at St. Thomas Aquinas, we think of his genius. He absolutely was.
Absolutely, yeah.
But his humility was incredible. I mean, it was just, he had great humility and great purity.
Mm-hmm.
And he writes in the Summa that in order to see God and to contemplate, one needs to be pure, and one needs to be humble.
Mm-hmm.
And he exhibited that in a significant way. So he emulated St. Agnes.
I see. Okay. Talk about the representation of St. Agnes and Thomas Aquinas in the church.
Sure. So if one were to visit St. Agnes and take a look at the stained glass windows, the stained glass windows have each one has an angel with a ribbon, and within that ribbon is printed one of the stanzas of St. Thomas Aquinas' Eucharistic psalm. And so it begins with the stained glass window right to the left of the baptistry.
Okay.
Sing my tongue the glories of God. And then it ends with the last one in the back, you have written well of me, Thomas.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and you take a look at that one, it's absolutely beautiful because if you look up, you have to look really up high, you see St. Thomas Aquinas speaking to the crucifix way above. And this is this vision late in his life where he's speaking to the crucifix, and the crucifix says, "Hey, you've written well of me, Thomas. Well, what do you ask in return?"
Okay.
And he says, "Nothing, Lord, but you." Is his response.
My goodness.
And so it's a beautiful, beautiful stained glass. But all of them, one could just walk the stained glass and just pray and ask St. Thomas Aquinas to help with participation in the Mass. His prayer before the Mass, his Thanksgiving after Mass, again, these are 750 years old, are absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of the old, St. Agnes, it's an old parish.
It
right,
is.
And it's beautiful. It's one of those churches that you like to go into. In the Baton Rouge diocese, we don't have a lot of the older churches, and it's a beautiful church just to walk or make a little pilgrimage, walk through. There's a lot to see, right?
Absolutely. If you're able to come Saturday for Mass at 8 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
Confessions at 7:30, and then immediately after Mass, mm-hmm. Monsignor Bergman will give his presentation.
Right.
One after could just simply spend a little bit of time with the stained glass windows. As a little pilgrimage.
Yeah, just looking around at the beautiful old church there at St. Agnes. And anything else as far as going on at St. Agnes Parish?
Oh, there's always a ton.
Yeah.
So there's plenty. We just had the group come back from the pilgrimage to the shrine. Shrine of the Blessed Sacrament.
Yes.
So that was absolutely amazing.
This is up in Hansville, Alabama.
In Hansville.
Right.
Yeah, so very, very special. And it was not just the parish, but members across the greater Baton Rouge and the diocese.
Right.
And so they
right.
had an amazing experience.
Now, this is a parish. It doesn't have a school. It is just the church itself, right? But it also serves Mother Teresa's nuns.
That's right.
And so you've got a small parish that's very active and always something going on.
It is. That's right. So the school there was Dominican when it was built. It was
mm-hmm.
built for the Dominican sisters. So certainly we have members within the community that attended school at St. Agnes. But that was closed in the early 70s. It was used by the diocese for a bit, but today it's being used by the Missionaries of Charity, Home for Unwed Mothers.
Yes.
And just helping the community.
It certainly is. Yeah. It certainly is. And inspiring us as well when you see them around the area and you see what they're doing.
That's right.
It is just amazing. You know, in the very near future, you and I were talking before we came on about what your brother's been up to, Father Michael Champagne. And there's a lot going on. Fête du Teche is coming up, but
that's right.
Something even bigger than that? Or
that's right.
Can you tease that?
Certainly this August 15th for the Feast of the Assumption, everyone's invited to the Fête de Teche on Bayou Teche. Mm-hmm. It's going to begin in Leonville at St. Leo the Great, mm-hmm. For an 8 a.m. Mass in French. And then there'll be stops all along the way to kind of go through this the various churches along Bayou Teche.
A beautiful boat procession. Who does that? But yeah, in South Louisiana,
that's
right?
It's very, very special.
Yeah.
And then a plan for next year will be something similar, but on the Mississippi River.
Mississippi River. Right. I mean, that part is amazing. Cool. And originally, I mean, presently the plans are from Baton Rouge down to New Orleans, the Cathedral of Baton Rouge down to the St. Louis Cathedral in New Orleans.
Wow.
That is going to involve a lot. It's going to take a whole lot. All this is very exciting, and I know these processions on the water move a lot of people, so it's going to gain a lot of attention, which is important this time of in these times
all
of
these,
Eucharistic.
All of these processions and churches and all are a big deal. Absolutely.
Well, Kenneth, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for
having
me.
It is very, very good to see you again.
Appreciate it.
And
thank
I can't wait to have you back on.
Thanks.
All right.
Have a great day.
Okay. We will be back, and Johnny Hebert and Gabby and I will see you shortly. 7:45.
It's 48 past the hour on this hot June the 14th. It's going to be hot out there. Make sure that you stay hydrated, but check on those you love. Make sure that they've got all that they need, because sometimes that can definitely be an issue. Mm-hmm. You know, and speaking of summer, guys, right, it gives us time to help others. Lots of opportunities out there, but if you're still discerning, how can I serve the Lord, you know, with the time that I have available to me this summer? Well, we got an idea for you. Actually, Tyler Morrow joins us this morning. He's recruitment coordinator with CASA in Baton Rouge to talk about, well, let's get him on. Good morning. Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning. How are you?
So good to have you back with us this morning. You know, we understand you're the recruitment coordinator for CASA in Baton Rouge, and we're talking about summer and volunteering, especially with foster parents. So first of all, for those who say, CASA, what's that? Tyler, what is the mission and what does CASA stand for?
Yeah, so CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocate, and we recruit community volunteers, no special background needed, to speak on behalf of children who have been placed in the foster care system due to abuse or neglect. So these volunteers will go through an intense training and then be assigned a child who has been placed into foster care. And this volunteer will follow this child throughout their court case. They get to know everyone in the child's life, and they speak on their behalf in the courtroom to make sure that these children get placed in a safe and permanent home.
Yeah, so I guess if someone's listening and they're saying, okay, I don't have any special background in that, you know.
That's the first thing I thought of, too, is like, wow, that sounds like a lot.
Sounds like a lot, but not really.
So, yes, you do not have to have, it's a common misconception that we have, but you do not have to have any background in social work or law or anything like that. You just have to be a community volunteer wanting to help a child, and you have to be 21 years old. Those are our only requirements. And I know the sound of speaking on their behalf in the courtroom can sound scary, but you are assigned an advocate supervisor from our office who helps you with all of the court side of it. So the court reports and everything like that, they are specialized in that field. So you won't have to worry about any of that. You really just have to be the eyes and ears for that child and really speak on their behalf and see what's best for them.
So if your heart's in the right place, things will be taken care of for you then, right?
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious too. See, the average, people say, well, that sounds like a lot of time, but I was curious to that I understand that actually on average, don't your volunteers, you're more averaging only like 10 to 15 hours a month. So that's not a lot of time on average, right?
Yeah, it's really not. And actually most of our volunteers have full-time jobs. And we ask that you visit the child. So you do have to go through a 32-hour training. And once you're done with that training, you're going to be almost immediately assigned a child. And we ask that you stay with that child through their court case for at least a year. Some of these court cases can last longer or shorter. It just depends on the child. And then we ask that you see your child face-to-face once every 30 days. So that's kind of where the 10 to 15 hours a month comes from. We just ask that you see them face to face, you keep in contact with them, you keep in contact with everyone in their life, which could be teachers, doctors, foster parents, biological parents.
Yeah, and before we get to the end, I want to make sure the information is out there how people can contact you or your organization to kind of take that first step. How do they do that?
Yes, absolutely. So visit www.casabr.org, and our next training will actually be taking place September 12th. So if there was ever a time that you thought, oh my gosh, I really want to be a CASA volunteer, now is the time. We have a wait list of over 160 kids who do not have a CASA volunteer.
Wow.
So, and this has never happened before. Before COVID, we were serving every child. So now's the time. Our next training is happening on September 12th, and our website will lead you straight to sign up for an orientation, which is a 30-minute Zoom with someone from our office, and then you can sign up for the training from there.
So that number again, the number of kids on your wait list, and what does that attribute it to?
160 kids on a wait list waiting for a CASA volunteer. Before COVID, we were serving every child. And since COVID, teachers were mandated reporters of abuse and neglect. And since these children were taken out of school due to COVID, once they came back to school, children flooded into the foster care system in Baton Rouge.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
And so we now don't have enough volunteers. Right. And actually, before COVID, we had a wait list of volunteers waiting for a child.
Yeah.
So it has completely flipped, and now we need volunteers now more than ever.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And you guys have really got this down, too, in terms of people are concerned. Well, you guys have go back, what, to the early 90s? You've served over 3,000 abused children. You know, so there's a lot of experience there. So no worry, right? Someone will walk you through this process from beginning to end and be with you every step of the way. Is that right?
Absolutely. You just have to be someone willing to help a child who's in need. And all the other stuff, all the stuff that sounds scary, I promise you will have someone with you every step of the way.
So the primary need is for these 160 kids that are on this wait list. But what if someone says, okay, man, I really do want to help. I cannot do that for whatever reason. There's other ways to get involved with CASA as well, right? Tyler, talk about some ways they can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So donating is a huge thing. We are a nonprofit. So we fundraise to keep our business going so that we can help these children. You can also donate on our website, which is www.casabr.org. And actually, August 20th, we are having our CASAs for CASA Fiesta. That all the information about that is also on our website. And that is our biggest fundraising event where we raise most of our money. And so that will be happening on Sunday, August 20th at Red Stick Social. You can buy tickets. It's a great event to help support CASA and support these children.
I can't think of a better way to be Christ-like, be his hands and feet in the world. So once again, Tyler, can you give us the phone number or that website again if people want to find out a little bit more and take that first step maybe to doing what they can to help these children?
Yes, absolutely. So our website is www.casabr.org, and that will just take you to our main page. But if you want to go to our volunteer page, it will be www.casabr.org/volunteer.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for all that you guys do. So many children served, adopted. I see reunified with their parents, placed with a relative. That's the end result here, is that families, children find homes, find places to that have had a difficult past. So
Absolutely. Thank
you for all you do. Yes. God bless you.
Yes. Thank you all so much for having me.
You bet.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thank you, Tyler. Wow, you know, guys, some real powerful ministries today.
Well, there are. You know, that and Hotel Hope, this is a good time of year to prayerfully discern how we are going to serve Christ, like you said, Johnny.
Yeah, and then take action.
Right.
So let the Holy Spirit lead you. Well, let us move forward in prayer today as we do discern these things and take into heart the gospel today. And we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you've taught us what it means to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, our hearts, and our minds, especially in the example of the ministry shared today. May this station always be a forum for teaching the fullness of truth with charity, and may our lives be a testament to the fact that the way, the truth, and the life are found only in you, offered to us through the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. So let us again at this moment, Lord, rededicate ourselves to boldly reclaiming the beauty of our faith to the world through the example of our words and especially our actions that are done in your holy name, that name being the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. We're talking about the Pro-Life Summit with Louisiana Right to Life, David Dawson Jr. with the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux, and St. John the Baptist Church in Zachary, Father Jeff Fahey's retirement. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.